Please be seated. W.H. Auden, for the time being. He is the way. Follow him. In the land of unlikeness, you will see rare beasts and have unique adventures. He is the truth. Seek him in the kingdom of anxiety. You will come to a great city that has awaited your return for years. He is the life. Love him in the world of the flesh, and at your marriage, all its occasions will dance for joy. For now, for this time, for the time being, whether or not we leave to another day for another sermon, the question of whether ethics are situational in part or in full. There's no question, though, that choices, words, deeds, speech, action are epochal. They come in a time, in an era, this time, for the time being. New occasions teach new duties. Time makes ancient good uncouth. One must upward, still and onward. Who would keep abreast of truth? A freshman in the heart of the spring semester knows it's a different time. Not the color of autumn, but the snow of winter. Not the novelty of autumn, but the normalcy of winter. A woman carrying a child and those around her know full well that this is another era, another epoch. A nation of 340 million whose direction, moderate, liberal for many years, has been suddenly shifted harsh right on the basis of 77,000 votes along the country roads in three states and elsewhere, knows that now, here and now, this is a different time. A man or woman coming into Shakespeare's seventh stage knows, sans hearing, sans seeing, sans memory, sans energy, that this is a different season. New occasions teach new duties. We want to be, week by week, moving from those who forget to those who remember, as Brueggemann said, from forgetters to rememberers. So we hold today in memory, say, the apostle to the Gentiles who crossed borders, the greatest of borders, not just geographical, but theological, receiving the uncircumcised, who said, these are your words, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor, never lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality. Or we might remember now, we Bostonians don't always have every single kind word to say about the city of New York, but now and then, here and there, we travel and see the beautiful harbor and the sun dappling down upon and the waves lapping up toward Our Lady Liberty. We could be not forgetters, but rememberers of what Emma Lazarus so well wrote. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the restless refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Or we might recall the Lutheran pastor Martin Niemöller, who spent 8 years, 1937 to 1945, behind bars, but confessed later, "When they came for the communists, I did not speak out because I was not a communist. When they came for the socialists, I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. When they came for the gypsies, I did not speak out because I was not a gypsy. When they came for the Jehovah Witnesses, I did not speak out because I was not a Jehovah Witness. When they came for the Jews, I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then, at last, they came for me, and there was no one there to speak out." We shall be those who move from forgetting to remembering, to carrying together a tradition for the time being, that this is the staggering responsibility and the awesome freedom of this hour and every hour, that new occasions teach new duties, that we, though we receive a tradition, that tradition has to be translated into insights for effective living, for it to come alive. The tradition, including Matthew this morning, which we receive, can guide us, but it cannot direct us. Now we are moving into perhaps the most cherished of the dominical sayings contained in Holy Scripture, the Sermon upon the Mount. You know we are in Matthew this year, Luke last year, Mark next year. Luke had an interest in ordering the history of the meaning of the gospel. Matthew has an interest in ordering the meaning of the history of the gospel. So you are moving from history to meaning, from the history department to the religion department. Welcome, one and all. All of our documents speaking of history in the New Testament and elsewhere, every literary document and every such document, our primary source material for the time in which it is written, the time, community, situation, era in which it is written. Secondary sources, if that and only, for the historical narrative it presents. So primary for Matthew, secondary for Jesus. And in Matthew's time, the end of the first century and the years following 80, perhaps 85 of the first century of the Common Era, Matthew is trying to guide his community between the Scylla of the untethered and the Charybdis of the too tightly tethered. He's trying to guide a community between tradition received and gospel affirmed. Mark well, for Matthew as for Paul, gospel ever trumps tradition. But also for Matthew as for 1 Timothy, tradition, institution, becomes a protection for gospel. Matthew is speaking a new word in a new time and guiding us by his example, which can guide but cannot direct. We are in a new era, and we learn, don't we? Now, this has been said twice, once in November and December. This will be the last foray into this field. We learn, don't we, sometimes the hard way, that the meaning of an act or a word, a speech or a deed, is not found in intention, in what I meant or what she meant. Meaning is found not there, but in effect, in influence, in what it does. What you meant is wonderful. We assume the most generous of meaning in your intention. But the meaning of that act, that word, that speech, that deed is found not there, but here. Or in the case of a vote, what you might have meant then is not what it means. What it means is the effect this week, today, what it does. My father had three favorite sayings, one of which is praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Another of which was whoever told you life would be fair. And the third is the road to hell is paved with good intentions. What it means is what it does. In 1976, by happenstance, a very young 20-year-old minister went to care for two country congregations along the beautiful hillsides and rolling valleys of the glacially cut Finger Lakes, the edge of the Allegheny Plateau. No education, no training, no ordination, and no supervision. Not a very good practice in retrospect. Off he went to preach. He forgot things. One Sunday, he forgot his sermon. The sermon was on forgiveness, and he had to pause, say to the congregation, I need to go across the street and get the text of the sermon, something about forgiving and forgetting. Asked the choir, four sopranos, to stand and sing some verses of the hymn In the Garden, which in any case was largely a weekly occurrence anyway. In the sermon, the words unintended and such come to mind. He spoke about the fire department in that little village of New Hope, where there is a grist mill for pancake flour, because that Saturday night there would be a special worship service so that Sunday could be cleared for the field day to support the volunteer fire department. He said something innocuous, mentioning the fire department, but in the visitation that week, now this is a good reminder to us all about the connection between the ministry of the word and the engagement and conversation. Sitting with the volunteer fire chief, over who had worked for two decades, and wife and children, and across the table she said, well, we heard the sermon on Sunday, and we now know that from what you said, we should withdraw from the fire department, and John should no longer be the fire chief. And the minister said, I didn't mean that at all. But the minister is not responsible only for what she says, but for what she is heard to say. Fortunately, there was some coming to terms and a rearrangement and the blessing of conversation over the inaccuracy of preaching, and things went along. What it means is not what you meant. What it means is what it does in this time, for the time being. We are in uncharted waters. And while we may broadly differ and disagree, policy we adjust, fear-mongering we resist. Policy we can adjust, fear-mongering we must resist, and hold on to what comes through to us in the Beatitudes and in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount in the weeks to come. Of what is our common longing? Do you notice in these Beatitudes the emptiness? Perhaps in this era, you sense, feel a little anger, a little fear, a little anxiety, a little depression, a little acedia, a little ennui. Welcome to Matthew 5. Blessed are poor in spirit, mourn, meek, hungry, merciful, pure, peacemaker, persecuted. Said Lao Tzu, the reality of the vessel is the shape of the void within it. The reality of the vessel is the shape of the emptiness, the longing within it. Blessed are you for your common longing that remains. For during the time of a warming globe, a cooling that may come through calmer tempers and wiser, keener minds. A longing during a time of nuclear danger that the arts of diplomacy will be deployed for nuclear detente. A common longing that the rhetoric of this country, now giving way to hooliganism, will be restored to the better angels of our nature. A common longing that the institutions, colleges, schools, universities committed to formation will combine a love of learning with a respect for meaning, a pride in knowledge with a sense of goodness, a capacity for discovery, with a recognition of recovery. This is your longing. You're awaiting the blessing of the future, a common longing that our grandparents, grandmothers, and fathers, after a long lifetime of service, as they have loved, they will be loved. As they have cared, they will be cared. And we shall be a society that honors the commandment to honor father and mother. A common longing that women one day will no longer have to work 25% harder to receive the same and to recall the same and to be given the same. And that our mothers and our daughters and our sisters and our siblings and our loved ones will be afforded in workplace and in social setting and in third setting and in university and in all the reverence and the respect and the safety they deserve. This is a common longing for a shared hope for future that we dare not forget. We're moving from being forgetters to becoming rememberers, and a common longing, especially not just for this world, but for this world as a field of formation for the world to come. Not just for creation, but for the new creation. Not just for life, but for eternal life. Not just for earth, but for heaven. If for this life only, we have hoped, we are of all people most to be pitied. This is, for the time being, our common, our shared longing. Ah, dear Matthew, will guide us in the days to come if we will allow him. Can we recall Paul, let love be genuine? Can we recall Emma, give me your tired, your poor? Can we recall Martin, when they came for the others, I did not speak out? Can we bring to mind the resources from another era that we shall need to employ and deploy in this very era for our time, for the time, for the time being? Should you be casting about for one such moment tomorrow here on Marsh Plaza at 3 p.m., you might come and stand with us and with the leadership of our Boston University Arabic Society, 3 p.m., to be together, to be at peace, and to bear witness. Or if you cannot come, take a moment at the desk and offer a 10-minute prayer and read a psalm and write a letter and send a check and make this a moment of engagement. The gospel is not good advice. The gospel is good news, and we are moving Sunday by Sunday, weekday by weekday, to live as a community that teaches by example in thought and in word and in deed. For the time being, he is the way. Follow him in the land of unlikeness. You will see rare beasts and have unique adventures. He is the truth. Seek him. In the kingdom of anxiety, you will come to a great city that has awaited your return for years. He is the life. Love him in the world of the flesh, and at your marriage, all its occasions will dance for joy. For thus saith the Lord, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.